And then last week we kind of talked about the 7 proven strategies for reaching our full potential as men of God. We also talked about last week we were created for a purpose, and that purpose is more. And every one of us has the potential to be something more than we currently are. There is always room for growth. So we have covered in the first couple of weeks the 5 daily provisions that are necessary for the journey. That is purpose, hope, encouragement, a positive attitude, and determination. The first thing we looked at was to discover a purpose. That was strategy 1 we looked at. And then we also talked a little bit about last week of accepting personal responsibility. And I think that's probably one of the biggest things. We didn't really touch on this too much last week, so maybe we'll talk about it here in a second. Accepting personal responsibility. I also do want to start to remind everybody that next week, it'll be on Tuesday night, will be our prayer and pie. So there will not be Wednesday night classes next week as you prepare yourself and get your sweats ready for Thanksgiving. Stretchy bands. Amen. So just remember that. And then also this Sunday is our kickoff for Promise, our first sacrificial offering. Very excited for that to see what God's going to do. And let's kind of jump into it tonight. Let's talk about this just for a second. Accepting personal responsibility. What's that look like? What's that look like to you? Anybody who wants to share, like, accepting personal responsibility?
When you make an action or do something, you've got to own up to it wasn't a very good decision to make, and try to do better.
Mm-hmm.
Own up even when you're not called
out. Man up.
Oh, that's a good one. Mm-hmm. Own up even when you're not called out. Mm-hmm. Don't wait to be called out before you own up.
Right.
That's really good. This is something that we teach our boys really, really hard. Is this approach to life, period, in anything you do, whether it be a home, whether it be a school, whether it be a church, doesn't matter. That is to take personal responsibility. I think one of the worst things we can do, probably one of the, maybe it's a pet peeve, I don't know, but an aggravation maybe when somebody, when you know and they know, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like when you know and they know that they did something, but yet
they try to story their way.
They will try their best pin that on somebody else. It's like, if I'm going down, I'm not going down alone. And sometimes it's like,
but he did or she did,
all day long. And that's what I always tell my boys, like, if you want to earn like full respect, the best way you can do that is just to admit you're wrong.
When you're wrong.
When you're wrong.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And you know what that creates, especially as a dad, what that creates for me is when I know when they're consistent with saying, yeah, I should have done that. When they're consistent, that when they do argue something, I will go to bat for them.
Right.
Because I know there's a good chance they probably didn't do it. And there's been situations like that. We actually had a situation last year where there was a little boy and a little girl that was at school that didn't, I don't know what the problem was, but for some reason they were coming after Huntley. Mm. And you talk to his teacher, and his teacher, she would tell us, like, he's the leader of the class. I mean, he does everything he's told to do. He's a perfect student. She told us that when he's a natural born leader, so when he stands up and he speaks something, he gets the whole class's attention. That's and so we went from that to them calling us and saying, well, so and so this, and so and so that. And when we brought him home, I mean, he was adamant. He was not budging. No, absolutely not. Here's what happened. And he told the story of what happened. So we went back and we told the teacher, I said, listen, I know what they told you. I said, but I'm just going to tell you, we have a standard at home.
Yeah.
And that standard is to accept responsibility when you're wrong. And my boys do that.
Yeah.
They're not perfect, but they do that. And I said, he's adamant that this didn't happen. And it eventually, that's what we told Hunt, this is one of the hardest things to do is when the other individuals, maybe they don't want to own up, but somebody else doesn't want to own up to it.
Right.
Then what happens is, but it eventually comes out. Truth always comes out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it did.
Yeah.
There were some other kids that were on the playground when everything was happening, and they were scared of the one kid.
So they didn't want to
say anything. But they finally came around and said something, and kind of just cleared Huntley, you know, and the teacher felt bad, and she said, well, I'm sorry. And I said, no, I mean, you weren't there, so you didn't know. But it's just one of those things, like, I think if we, and that, so not just teaching our kids, but it's a good principle for all of us to live by, especially as men, especially if we're going to say, you know, we're striving to be men of God, that we're an example of who He is. You know, I don't ever find anywhere in the Bible that Jesus tried to throw blame off on somebody else.
No.
You know? Right. I mean, it says that they, when they were beating Him and ridiculing Him and spitting on Him, you know, they take him from the crowd, and He doesn't speak a word.
Yeah. He really can't.
This is God robed in flesh,
amen,
who has the ability to say, be gone with all of you.
Yeah, and you know? Vaporize. Yeah.
And the Bible says that He did not speak a word. So that teaches us, like, there's going to be times where, you know, for us, that we, if something does happen, if it is our turn or something is, you know, we've done something wrong, one of the best things for us to do is to say, yeah, you know what? So. I did it.
Don't drag anybody else into it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Just take it, move on. So, yeah, so I think that's probably one of the greatest things about, you know, simply being just a man, especially a man of God, is just to own up and say, yes, I accept personal responsibility. So, all right, so the next thing we're going to look at is, which is, I think, very, very important, is consistency. So let's ask this. What does consistency mean to you? Anybody who wants to share? Consistency.
Same every time.
Where it is not better, yeah.
Yep. So where does, what's some areas in life, some things in life where consistency really matters?
Being a Christian.
What is it?
Being a Christian.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
No situational ethics.
Yep. Absolutely.
I don't know any big fancy words.
So let's look at this. So I'll just kind of give a quick example from my perspective. So as a pastor, right? So as a pastor, pastoral ethics. So if someone shows up to church next Sunday, and I know they're from another church, what is it the ethical thing for me to do? To go greet them and say, welcome to Life Point. So right. Glad you're here. No. Make yourself at home. And just be a part of our church.
No.
First thing I do is I pick up the phone. I greet them. I'm very nice to everybody. You know, I always say, hey, so glad to have you. And tell your pastor, I said, hey.
Yeah.
Always do that. But I actually just had to do this last week. That's why it's fresh in my mind. And I picked up the phone, called Gary's a very good friend of mine. I called him and said, hey, just wanted to let you know so-and-so from your church was here on Sunday, and I just want to make you fully aware of that. So if they come back, you know, you just tell me, how do you want me to handle it?
Right.
Are you aware that they're here? He was not aware because he wasn't at home. He was out in the country preaching in a crusade overseas.
Man, that's
so I just kind of made him aware. So that is just the ethics, the right thing to do, and those are the things I have to be consistent in.
Right.
So I can't say, well, if somebody shows up from this church, I'm going to say something. But this church over here, I know they're having some problems, so I'm expecting people to leave. So if they show up, I ain't waste my time calling them. Right? No, yeah. I still got to pick up the phone.
Right.
And I still got to say, hey, I want you to know because...
You're a better person.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Got to be.
I have to be consistent.
Yeah.
Because if I'm consistent in what I do, people will trust me and I'll have respect with them. Because I'm just consistent. So, so that's just one of those things. You know, it's kind of explaining what Brother Chapman was saying. Just situational ethics. So, anybody else? Consistency.
go to work every day.
Yeah.
It helps.
Being a provider for your home.
Mm-hmm.
Especially being on the
man of the house.
Yeah. That helps.
When a situation arises in the house, you have to take the information and analyze it, and judgment be put forth.
Yeah.
And you have to be consistent about that.
Yeah.
Kind of like set it as a goal.
Yeah.
You're consistent, especially so if you got multiple kids.
Oh yeah.
It helps to be consistent.
Yeah.
With all of them, right?
Right.
I'm gonna do the same thing over here that I did over here.
Right.
You know, so that consistency matters. I mean, I'm thinking as well, I mean, you're a builder, so I'm guessing that when you cut your boards, you probably don't be consistent if you're building a wall.
Oh yeah.
Building a wall this week.
See?
There you go.
112 and three quarters.
See? I guarantee you, he's going to make sure every board, he wants them to be consistent, right?
Measure twice, cut once.
There you go. Amen on that.
Remember last week I was talking about building that back porch for my parents? Yep. My father-in-law, he said, go cut a couple boards. I said, okay. What do they need to be? He told me, measure twice, cut once.
Yep.
I thought, man, it'd be a whole lot quicker if I cut this first board and I used that first board to be my measurement for the second board.
No. He'd get longer.
And then I realized, oh, that's a corner board, so we had a post, so I had to cut the little notch in. Wasted that board. I wasted that board. That board got tossed because I cut the notch on the wrong side. And you couldn't, because it was like the notch was, there was two, both ends had to be done. And the way I did it, I remember him looking at it and he said, did you measure twice? I said, well, I used this board to cut that one. He said, no.
Yeah.
So I was trying to be
in a
hurry.
Yeah.
And I realized that consistency.
Does matter.
It does matter.
Yes.
Yes, it does. Yes. And I think this plays into any area of life. It does. I mean, I guess I don't think I can really think of a place in life where it doesn't. I can't think of one.
Right.
Where it doesn't matter. I mean, even like, I was thinking like Presley's baseball, when he first started pitching, he was always a shortstop, and he was always a second baseman. And we showed up one night to a game, and they were, all their pitchers, one of them had broke his arm, the other one was on vacation. And I'll never forget his coach said, hey, he pulled me over. He said, has Presley ever pitched? And I said, no. I've never seen him pitch.
Right.
And he said, okay, he said, do you mind if I try him out? And I was like, I don't care. Go ahead. So he pulls him to the side, gets a catcher down there, and he said, okay, Presley, go ahead. Well, does anybody remember Reds fans? You remember Reds fans in here?
Yeah, but I just don't.
Do you remember Rob Dibble? Okay, Rob Dibble, when he pitched, his knee would touch his chin.
Oh, yeah. Oh, bring it up.
So, Preston never pitched before. And he got like this. And when he came up, his knee touched his chin. And he came around. And that ball, and that glove. And his coach just turned and looked at me and he said, he's never pitched before? I said, no.
Wow.
He hasn't. But he was in the middle of that game. And he's young. And he's just thinking, if I can just throw it as hard as I can, that's what's going to matter, right?
Uh-huh.
Ball was going here and there and here and there.
Yeah, yeah.
So between innings, I pulled him over and I said, come here, come here. He said, what? I said, accuracy.
Yeah.
He said, what? I said, I don't care how fast you throw the ball. Accuracy.
Yeah.
I want you, the consistency, just to the glove. That's all I'm asking you to do, bud. I said, you're not the only player out there. You've got a defense behind you.
Yeah.
All right, you don't have to kill your arm. I want you to hit the glove. I said, pitch and catch, just like you and me and me in the backyard. Pitch and catch. He said, okay. All right. So he went out. That's what he did. After the game, I told him, I said, once you get that down and you're consistent with hitting that glove, then we'll work on speed.
Yeah. And then different curves and different things.
And last year, he made the All-Star team and ended up being the closing pitcher for the team.
Wow.
So, and it was all that. And he never really pushed himself to throw crazy hard. There was kids that could throw faster than him, but it was his consistency with throwing in the strike zone that made his coach take him to closing pitcher.
I see him throw back here one.
Yes.
He
does. So it's that it kind of it comes into play anywhere in life.
Yeah.
So spiritual authority, which we have been talking about, grows by consistent action. So both commitment and consistency in your life says that you are taking personal responsibility for reaching your potential and not allowing circumstances to dictate your destiny. So what consistency looks like, we talked about a little bit. There are two great examples in Scripture, though. One that examples what we should not do, and one that examples what we should do. We'll look at King Saul first. He was one of the weakest leaders in the Bible. He could not master his emotions. He was anointed as king and given authority, but he could not maintain it because of a lack of consistency. He was bold, and he was timid. He was cruel, and he was kind. Obedient, and then he was disobedient. He was devoted, and then he was faithless. He was so inconsistent that God eventually removed him as king and appointed David in his place. So we see that biblical example of the inconsistency. That this proves right here that when you're inconsistent, let's look at it from the spiritual aspect or the kingdom of God aspect. Kind of we talked about last week in the panel, you know, being kingdom-minded, the kingdom of God, working in the kingdom of God. All of us have a purpose in the kingdom of God. Every one of us have a calling in the kingdom of God. But we can remove ourselves from that. By what? Being inconsistent.
Right.
Being inconsistent in what God has called us to do. So then we can look here at the other example, which is Daniel. Daniel, he is the picture of consistency in the most challenging of circumstances. He's exiled from Babylon, living in a strange land. Yet, he's promoted and given authority. He was a man of great faith with a habit of daily prayer. 3 times a day he prayed, even when it meant that he may lose his position, his authority, and even his life. He was still consistent. So even when the enemy comes at you and life is not great and you wish that things would change, and you feel like there's... Everybody have those moments where you feel like, Lord, where are you? Right? I know all of us have. We've had those moments like, you know, I feel like I haven't heard the voice of the Lord. The Lord's not speaking to me. I feel like he needs to silence. I just don't know where he's at right now. But it's in those moments that I think that our consistency matters most to God. That we show him that I'm not only faithful when you're blessing me. I'm not only faithful when things are going my way. I'm not only faithful when I'm on the mountaintop and I can see everything. Everything looks great. Everything is just perfect. Family's going great, my kids are behaving, you know, I'm just going to be consistent then, but they start acting out, and, you know, forget it. Or I'm not hearing from the Lord, forget it. You know, or that blessing I was expecting, or that raise I was expecting, didn't happen, forget it. Walking away. No, we got to be consistent no matter what. And this is what Daniel is, that he says, take my position, take my authority, threaten my life.
Amen.
I'm going to be consistent. So we see Daniel 6 and 10. It says, but when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home, knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with his windows open toward Jerusalem. He prayed 3 times a day, just as he has always done, giving thanks to his God. So this was the moment of truth for Daniel. And Daniel passed the test.
Amen.
This was it. Like, are you going to be who you say you are no matter what? Yes, I'm going to be who I say I am. And this made me think of, you remember back the horrific thing that took place in Columbine. The Columbine shooting years ago. And I remember the story that they told about that young girl, a Christian girl, and that they had walked up to her and asked her if she was a Christian, if she believed. They said, if you denounce your belief, then we will let you live. And she refused. She said, this is who I am. And they killed her. Yeah. So you see, like those moments, I mean, I pray we never face that. But, you know, there's going to be moments, especially the day and age we're living in. I don't know if you saw it the other day with that, I don't even know her name, that famous like, female soccer player. It was her last game to play before she retired, I think, and she got hurt. Her leg got hurt or something.
Oh,
she got removed from the game.
Mm.
And they asked her, like, you know, what's your thoughts on this? And she said, well, the fact that I got hurt in my last game proves that there's not a God.
Oh, boy.
Maybe her leg got hurt for a reason.
There you go.
That's just one of those moments where I kind of just turn my head and look at you like, that's about the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
I mean, really? But it's just people are just trying to look for an excuse to prove their opinion that he doesn't exist. You know. So, what is one way that Daniel passed the test? He took control of his emotions. We all have them. He said, women are emotional. So are we. Absolutely. Some of us deal with some of these emotions better than others. Maybe some struggle with anger. Anger's emotion. Maybe some of us in here, you kind of deal with maybe sadness or, I don't know, just certain emotions that, you know, rage. I know there's a lot of men who deal with rage and can't understand why. Like, they can't control it. They get frustrated over themselves because they can't control it. So there was an emotion that Daniel could have done that. Daniel could have got mad.
Yeah.
You know, or he could have let, you know, fear. He could have let fear grip his heart. He could have said, well, I'm not going to go pray anymore. I guess I'm just going to give up who I am and do whatever they tell me to do. But he didn't do that. So how did he remain consistent in his life? By taking authority over his mind, his heart, his thoughts, and his emotions. So in order to be who God has called us to be, we must be able to take authority over our minds, our hearts, our thoughts, and our emotions. So we must learn to worship God, not our circumstances. Man, that's good. If we worship God, if we're living for God, it does not matter what the circumstances are in life. It does not. You know, I know there's probably some in this room that you've walked through valleys in life.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Everybody's had those exits that are available to you. You know, there are always exits available.
Yeah.
The enemy will always give you an exit on the road of life when you're walking with the Lord. Always. He'll always give you an exit. He'll give you an exit. He'll give you exits in your marriage. Yeah. He'll give you exits, you know, as in fatherhood. He'll give you exits in walking with God. There's always, the exits are always going to be available. They're always going to be there.
Yeah.
We got to make the decision not to take them and to be consistent and stay on that road with the Lord. So we have to learn to worship God, not our circumstances. If you're worshiping Him, it doesn't matter what you're going through, where you're at, what you're facing, you're still going to be consistent in worshiping God. Why? Because He is who He is, and He deserves it. And we're blessed and honored enough just to know Him. And just, sometimes I think, like, if you're raised in it, I've been raised in this. This is all I've known. I mean, from day one, I think I've told you guys. I was born on a Thursday or something. And kind of like you guys, y'all were here. You guys were here that first Sunday. That was me. My mom was choir director, and she had me. And a few days later, I'm in a little, one of those little basket bassinet things under the front row while she's directing choir. And this is all I've known. You know, so I think that sometimes, you know, when this is all you know, what is it?
Meant to be.
Yeah. Well, it is.
Yeah.
It is. You know, but you know, it's one of those things. Like, this is all I've known, so I don't even know what the exits might look like or
which you probably
the roads. Yeah. So to me, that's my testimony.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I don't have the testimony of some people to say, well, I've been there. And I know what it looks like, and that's why that's what keeps me on the road.
Yeah.
That's what keeps me on this road. You know, because I know what the other situations look like, and I'd rather be here. We're blessed. Yeah. We are blessed to know God. All right, so we make choices based on our values, not our feelings. So you're going to have a bad day. Things are not always going to go the way you want to go. You know, you're gonna have those days where you just want to go home, get a shower, get in bed, and just let's start over tomorrow, right? We all have them. We all have them. I mean, if you don't, please tell us your secret. But every one of us have those days. But that's those choices that we have to make in those days that we base, you know, our choices on our values, who we are, who God is in our life, and not our feelings. So this is not being fake. You say this like, oh, you're just ignoring your feelings. No, that's not it. You're not being fake. It is having faith in God. So when you're in those bad situations, you're in those bad days, you know, maybe you're building something that doesn't go the way you want it to go. You know, when you're looking at that air duct that comes out and it was driving you crazy. He was working in our basement. he tried everything he could. We're calling Brother Phillips, the air guy, saying, like, what can we do? And, you know, and it's just that one thing. Like, he did phenomenal. I'm just saying, shameless plug, if you need work.
Step around that corner.
You better, yes. So we finished our basement, so all of our evangelists, any evangelists come through, they stay with us. Yeah. We want to put them in a hotel now. And so Brother Mitchell's first night, he stayed with us. He's a tall guy. And he told me the next morning, he said, I got up in the middle of the night, had to go to the bathroom. He said, and I was walking through there, and he said, I felt it just go graze right along my hair. And I realized, whoo, that could have been really bad. I got blood all over your new carpet. I was there
long enough that it was a habit that I didn't even have to pay attention to.
You just knew. Oh, yeah. You just know when you go down the central. Yeah. But that was one of those things, like, it drove me nuts. Yeah. You know, I'm sitting there looking like, man, what a phenomenal job. And he's like, but that thing right there. And I'm like, yeah, so it was probably his worst day out of the whole thing, but couldn't figure that out, you know. But, you know, it's even those situations, it's like, it didn't change the fact that God's God, who He is. He's faithful, you know. And it's just amazing how we can let our emotions or our feelings get in the way sometimes, what God's trying to do.
Always makes you wonder sometimes if you could just walk with God one day.
Oh, Lord, yes.
Just walk with God one day. Seriously, if you could do it.
But you think about it.
Your head would be so huge.
To think like he thinks, to understand his ways.
Wow.
I'll tell you, it's overwhelming. Yeah. And I think I've shared this before, but I was leading praise and worship one time in Lancaster's church. And I went to the prayer room, and I knelt down and I prayed a prayer that I haven't prayed since, because it was just too overwhelming. And I said, Lord, I want you to show me what you see in a service. Mm-hmm. I said, will you open my eyes? Let me feel what you feel in a service. I'm not.
Right.
I don't think I'm asking, you know, like something crazy.
Yeah.
He granted it.
Oh, boy.
And I was leading praise and worship. And as I was leading, I looked out and I saw all of these people. I mean, He's here. Like, the Lord is here. His presence is here. And I look out, and it was just like there were so many people just sitting on His presence.
Oh, Lord.
And I began to feel like a broken heart. And it overwhelmed me so bad that behind the pulpit, I just fell on my knees. And I just started weeping. And I was like, Lord, take it away from me. I couldn't. It was so overwhelming. I couldn't deal with it. I couldn't. I said, this is too heavy. It was too much for me. You know, so it makes you wonder what He feels when we have those inconsistent days.
That took you 15 right. minutes, give or take. Imagine going a whole day just to be with Him.
Yeah.
The things that you would see, that you could hear, and you're like, did that really happen? Did they really say that?
Right.
Is this what's really going on?
Yeah, it'd be overwhelming. I promise you, it is overwhelming. It is. But He's still faithful.
Yes, He is.
He's still consistent.
Praise God.
You know, even when we're not, He's still consistent. And that's something we've got to hold on to. So it is about spiritual maturity, which leads to spiritual authority. So the more consistent we are, the more we grow in Him, the more we become like Him. It was said of Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, that he had might and strength and power, but he was unstable as water, and he would not excel. So if you thrive in being a victim, you will never have spiritual authority. So we have to look at this, and it says here that he was unstable as water. So you can be strong, you can have great strength and power, but if you are not stable in who you are, if you're not consistent in who you are, it doesn't matter. I mean, you could be the biggest, strongest guy. It doesn't matter. I mean, you could be, you know, look at the preachers around, you'd be conference preachers. And if you're not consistent in who you are outside the pulpit,
oh,
you won't be effective in the pulpit.
Right.
after I heard a group of young ministers was talking one time, and I was just standing listening, and they said, "Oh, this guy, he's awesome. He's powerful." And blah 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 blah. And I was just sitting there listening to him, and I said, "What do you use? Like, what meter do you use to decide that?"
Right.
I mean, is it because they preach conferences, or what is it? How do you come to that determination of like
someone better than
they're great? Yeah, yeah. Like, where do you come with that? Because to me, what I look at who they are outside of the world.
Right.
Right? That's why, I asked Bishop Stark to come and partner with us as the voice of the apostle for our church and for my life. Yeah. Because I know who he is outside the pulpit.
Right.
He's the same individual he is in the pulpit. Amen. Right? So I tried to build a relationship. That's why I have a very small list of what I would consider like personal, really close friends. And people that I allow to speak in my life.
Right.
And there's a reason. Because it wasn't just like I didn't call them up and be like, "Hey, you seem like a cool guy.
Yeah.
Can I add you to my list?"
Yeah.
No, but I spent time with him. And I had one couple that, here's the funny thing. I had one couple, he's a pastor here in Ohio. And I just felt the Lord kind of drawing me to him. And I said something to Sister B, and she said, "It's funny you say that, because I've been feeling that towards his wife."
Mm.
So I called him up and said, "Hey, guys, want to get dinner?" So we went out to dinner, and we're sitting there, and he looks over, he says, "Hey, so I'm going to say something really weird." And I'm thinking, well, this could take a left turn real quick, right?
Right.
So he goes, he's like, "So my wife and I, we've been praying, and," he said, "we just really felt the Lord speak to us that," he said, "now, I hope this isn't offensive," he said, "but we have a very short list of friends that we allow speaking to our life." And I just grinned, looked at Sister B, we're just grinning. He said, "We really feel like we want you guys to be on that list." And we just started talking, I started sharing with him.
Yeah.
And he just knew, like, man, the Lord orchestrated this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He really did. You know, so it just to watch that consistency, and and that's somebody at least once a week I call up and talk to them, or they'll call me and say, "Hey, what's your thoughts on this?" It just, everybody needs those individuals in your life. You need consistent people.
Sure.
Consistent people in your life. So, all right. Choosing to walk in the Spirit. Let's look at this. Choosing to walk in the Spirit. If you want to be consistent, walk in the Spirit. The Spirit's always consistent. Galatians 5:16-17 and 24-25, it says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish." You got to walk in the Spirit. Because there are things our flesh wants to do that our spirit will not do. That's the key. There are things that everyone wants in this room. Your flesh wants to do things because it's flesh. But your spirit is what stops you. And then it says, "And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." So it's not one thing we can just say, "Well, I live in the Spirit." Well, we have to walk in it daily. Every step you take, everywhere you go, the way we live life, you're walking in the Spirit. So we look at this. Crucified flesh cannot feel anything. I love that statement. I've heard it before. Crucified flesh cannot feel anything. It cannot be offended. It can't be bitter, resentful. So when you crucify your flesh and you start living in the direction of the Spirit, if the Spirit is leading you and guiding you in life, and your flesh is not leading you and guiding you, then that's when the emotions come, where somebody, maybe you got somebody at work that's, just trying to get under your skin, trying to offend you, they're just trying their best. And I know some of you probably have people like that. It's like they just try their best just to really get you. And but when you're walking and you're living by the Spirit, those things, it's almost like water off a duck's back. Because it's not really worth my attention. Why would I take my attention off of him and put my effort and my emotions into this and get offended? And and take the ability, or take the chance of if I'm offended and I've got in my heart against somebody, and the trumpet sounds, was it really worth it? No. So if we walk in the Spirit, we realize, I don't really have time for that. I don't have time to get offended, right?
I have to say that, yeah, I had a woman at work where I worked at and stuff that would actually do that. Just to see her would just set me off, and just instant anger. Because I knew she was out to get me, and she was doing something, and she was always going behind me and doing, you know, stuff, saying against me. But finally, the gentleman that was a friend of mine that I worked at says, why do you let her do that to you? And I had to just sit there and think, and I said, I don't know. And as soon as I realized that, I let it go.
Yeah.
And we're best friends now. And talk normal, no problem. I said, why did I ever let her do that?
Sometimes we allow people to live in our head rent-free.
Yeah.
Exactly. Seriously. They control our lives.
That's what it was.
Yeah. And it's not worth it.
No.
Best thing to do is set yourself free from that.
I did.
Set yourself free from that.
I've created the several good jobs that I've had where other people was doing that to me. Mm-hmm. And I come home and I told Karen what I said. I'm just done with that. I'm not dealing with that.
Yeah.
I'm just going to find a job somewhere else. And she said, well, that's your choice. I see why you've done what you did, but you need to find a job pretty quick. You can't go without having things. You know what I mean?
Yep. Right. Absolutely.
And it's exactly what you said.
Yeah.
Just
and let go.
Just to do it.
Yeah.
So we look at this. Calling, which we've established, we all have a calling.
Mm-hmm.
Our life. Calling plus character plus commitment will lead to consistency. Calling plus character plus commitment will lead to consistency. All right, let's look at this. We got about 10, 15 minutes. Let's look at this. Conviction. Let's look at conviction. Spiritual authority resonates from a heart of conviction. So this conviction is based on the belief that you are called. So let's look at the passion versus performance. Passion pulls greatness out of us. If you're passionate about something, it's kind of hard to stop somebody that is passionate about something. If you're passionate about something, you're going to do whatever you got to do to make it happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, if you're passionate, I know on Thursday nights, the dives go down to Middleport, and I never have to call you and say, man, I wish you were a little more passionate about Middleport. I never have to do that. Never. I know that there is a burning passion inside of him, Sister Rachel, for that city. And that's why on Thursday nights, they don't hesitate. They load all those kiddos up, and they go down, and they're putting some food in front of these people. They're teaching a Bible study. Because they're passionate.
Amen.
You know, when you're passionate about something, nobody has to drive you to do it.
That's right.
No. Passion will pull greatness out of us as well. So you could be, you know, I could have somebody who says, they might be a servant, and somebody might say, I'll go down, I'll do it because you asked me to, Pastor. Right? They'll go down, and they'll probably, and this is no offense to anybody who's ever went down and did anything, but they'll probably go down and probably do a decent job. Maybe mediocre job. But they're probably going to be like, okay, here's the food, and let's get this Bible study. Like you're asking way too many questions. I need to get home. Like, well, my show's going to be on. I got to get home. So let's shut this Bible study down. Let's go, right?
Mm.
But someone who is passionate, truly passionate about it, it pulls out greatness.
Exactly. Right there.
Right?
No time to...
There's good, and then there's great.
Yeah.
And when you're passionate about things, it pulls out the greatness. That's why, you know, I feel like there's probably some good builders. You're passionate about your work. I watched you. He is. He is passionate about his work and what he does. That's why he puts every little detail in everything that he does. And that's why it's like, I can see, like, that's great. That's greatness. I've seen good builders, good carpenters. I've seen great carpenters.
Mm-hmm.
Great carpenter. That's why upstairs on Sundays, we have Brian Hooper runs our sound. And I told him when he first came, I said, there is a sound man, and then there's a sound engineer. Mm-hmm. I said, you, sir, are a sound engineer.
Mm-hmm.
He's passionate. It's his ministry. It's his passion.
Yeah.
He loves what he does. And it drives him. I mean, it drives him to come and spend hours. And, you know, I was here, I think it was last week, I showed up, and here's him and Kate building scaffolding, you know, to go up and work on lighting. And just, I was, you know, I'd never have to, like, light a fire.
Right. But
it's like, there's just passion behind it. Like, he wants it to be great. He wants the sound. It's like the sound, he's like, Pastor, the sound is good, but we can make it better.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So that's the thing. Is I don't want to be just mediocre whenever I do.
Right.
Especially if we're doing things for God. There needs to be that passion. That's why the Bible tells us to do everything we do unto Him.
Yeah.
Right?
Give all.
And if you're doing it unto Him, it's kind of hard to lack passion if you're doing it for Him. Because if
right.
you're doing it for Him, don't you want to do it great?
You better.
Right?
Yes.
So if we do all things unto Him, then we're doing things, we're living life with passion. So no matter what you do, whether if you're going to your job and you work, you do your job with passion unto Him, right? You say, well, really? Because I do this. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you work. It doesn't matter whatever you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, Red Bull, the warehouse, you go in there and you do it with passion. Why? Because everyone that works for you is watching every move you make. And you're an example. You said, I'm doing this unto God, so I'm going to do it with greatness.
Yeah.
You're going to have some people be like, really? I ain't going to do it with greatness. I just want to get in, clock out, and get home, right?
And get the check.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the check is nice. All right? There's a reason you go to work.
Yeah.
But if we do those things with the mindset of, I have this job because of Him,
mm-hmm.
and that blessing comes from Him, then
mm-hmm.
I do things a little different.
Amen.
I put a little more effort into it. Because I'm doing unto Him. So with passion pulls greatness out of us. Performance is just going through the motions based on minimum requirements. What are we talking about? Passion says, what do I need to do to reach my potential? Performance says, what is the least that I can do and still get by? So the Pharisees were performers. Jesus had great passion. He sometimes broke men's rules. In order to fulfill His purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And spiritual authority is the result of passionately knowing that you are doing God's will. So, doesn't matter what someone else says about you. If you are doing God's will, and you're doing it with passion, I promise you it is pleasing to God. Alright, so the power of faith. Conviction is the expression of great faith. Faith, you have faith in victory, you have faith in trials. And those who are sold out can never be bought out. Love that. Love that phrase right there. Those who are sold out can never be bought out.
Amen.
If you're sold out, ain't nobody going, it doesn't matter what price they put in front of you.
Amen.
I mean, I've seen young preachers, I've seen friends of mine that left it all. I had one preacher who at camp, he was speaking to me about, you know, this is what you need to do, and blah, 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 blah. He was just laying it out for me. He just preached senior high camp. I was there listening to him. And unfortunately, it wasn't too many years later that growing in church became his passion. Not growing the kingdom of God,
Ooh. But
growing a church became his passion. And I watched as he slowly removed this, he slowly removed that, he started playing with doctrine, he started messing with standards, and he just started letting go because the numbers started going up.
Oh, boy.
People, money, everything started, he was building his own kingdom is what he was doing. And now he is so far in that field, it's not even funny. So, when we say this, those who are sold out, sold to what? Sold to truth. I know what the Word says.
Amen.
I know His truth in here. So, I'm sold out to truth. That's why you heard me say it upstairs. You'll never hear me preach anything in that pulpit outside of truth. I know it's truth, and that's what I'm going to preach, no matter what. I don't care how many dollar signs are thrown in my face. I don't care how many promises. You know, there's people, I've had people call me, like, man, you want to grow your church? I can grow your church from 200 to 2,000 in just a couple years. Blah, 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 all these gimmicks and stuff. And I'm like, no.
Cancer grows don't mean it's good.
There you go, come on.
Cancer grows, but it does not mean it's good.
Wow.
That is.
That's because.
That's good. That's what that is. All right. So be sold out. Be sold out to truth. Be sold out to who you are. Be consistent. All right. So there are five levels of spiritual authority. Calling, character, commitment, consistency, and conviction. So that's calling, character, commitment, consistency, and conviction. All right. We'll close with this. Some growth activities. Reaching our full potential means growing into it. It's not going to happen overnight. And here are some growth activities that will help us grow into spiritual authority. Write and share your testimony. If you've never done this, if you got a testimony, one of the greatest things you can do is write it down, share it. All right? A couple weeks ago, when Terry Steele got healed in our service for her back pain, and she came to me and she shared it with me. You know what I said? I said, I want you to do something for me. She said, okay, what is it? I said, I want you to go home and I want you to write it down on Facebook and I want you to share it on Facebook.
There you go.
She said, I can do that. I said, all right. I said, go be bold. I said, did God do that for you? She said, yes, he did. I said, then go share the good news.
Amen.
And now if you notice it, after church, she went and shared it.
Yeah.
And all these people started, oh, wow, Terry, that's awesome. You know, I'm sure there's some people on there that, you know, maybe they don't live for the Lord.
Yeah.
They're seeing this, and it's proof to them. If we've got soccer players out there trying to prove God isn't real, why would we not do our best to prove that he is?
Amen.
I mean, seriously.
Amen.
That's why I said Facebook can be a mess. Social media can be a mess. But if we use it for something good, that's my Lord, if the disciples would have had it. Could you imagine?
Yeah.
What they could have done with that?
Oh, Lord.
So if we will use it for something good, it's something that the enemy, I think, intends to use for evil, but we can take it. And we have a choice of what we do with it, and we can do something good with it.
There was a song back in the 80s, and there's a line in there that says, are they more sold out to sin than we're sold out to him?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Are they more passionate about it?
Right.
So true. Wow. You have to ask yourself that. I mean, really.
Yeah.
You know, is the world more passionate about the sinful lifestyle than we are of living a life pleasing to God?
Well, I hope not.
Right? Because they don't hide anything.
Right.
They don't. I mean, it's pride this, pride that, pride that. They're proud of everything.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, why would the church not be proud of who we are?
Especially,
I mean, this is who we are.
Yeah.
Right? And we know who he is. So, I mean, I'm not going to hide it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to be shy about it. And I think one of the greatest things you can do is to write down your testimony, share your testimony.
Yeah.
So God has been working on your behalf. Before you were even born. Everyone was in here.
Amen.
God knows.
Amen.
So by writing out your testimony, you more clearly identify God's hand at work in your life and more clearly identify your purpose. Another great thing to do is to create a horizontal timeline. So from birth to present, and maybe even thinking like future by faith. Speak some things. Write some things. You know, I'm just thinking like, just for example, just thinking Brother Matt. All right? So part of your life, and the biggest part of your life, is Middleport. So you could write, God's going to provide a church.
Amen.
Right? Write down where he brought you from birth to where you are now, and then write down that thought. You know, God's going to provide a church. God's going to provide a building. God's going to do this. There's going to be great revival. And there's something powerful about speaking those things.
Mm-hmm.
There is. There's something powerful about speaking those words. You're speaking it into the air. You're speaking that in faith, saying it's going to happen. I believe it's going to happen.
Amen.
So write those things down. Mark down each significant life event. Anything you can think back, that God event in your life, where God kind of changed your path or brought you somewhere and did something. Write those things down. Mark down each significant spiritual event and label it. So you can write down significant life events. What would that be? So, I don't know, maybe got married, had a baby, whatever. God did something. And then the spiritual events as well, label it. Put a label on when it happened. Write your faith story. It may include details before you were born. And then write your conversion experience. Write down your calling. We've talked about this in week one, trying to figure out what's my purpose, what's my calling. You figure out what that is, write that down. Times and places that God has spoken to you and what he spoke to you and how it altered your life. Like I've shared some in here already. You know, there are times I can take you to the place of the campgrounds where the Lord spoke to me and called me in the ministry. I can take you to that spot where it happened. My life was changed in that moment. You know, and then there's another place. I was 18 years old. We were attending Turnpoint Church in Groveport. I loved the church. I was a part of the youth group. I loved it. Now, I'll never forget. I could take you, but they actually used to be side ramps in the platform. Mm-hmm. And they tore them down. But there was a spot. I'll never forget. It was beautiful. Like, I don't know if it was oak wood or what. It was beautiful stained wood. Came down, turned like this, and then it dropped through the ramp. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget that I was down praying one night, asking for direction from the Lord. And it hit me so hard, and he released me and told me I needed to leave. Mm. I needed to go somewhere else.
Oh, not that church.
Not that church. Okay. I couldn't understand it. And I'll never forget, when I got done, I looked down, and there was a stream of my tears going down to the end of that and dripping off the end.
Mm.
And it was, I realized, like, man, I was like a broken, was a cistern. It was just leaking out. It was just coming out of me. It was just a moment I'll never forget. I mean, I can vividly remember that. Yeah. It's when we left there, and we went back to what was our home church. Our home church had went through a horrible situation, church split, and it was restored. A new pastor came. We went back home. And it was from there that I left and moved to Louisiana and got into youth ministry down there. So every single thing God does in your life, there's a purpose for it. He is like orchestrating every little thing. And there are moments where you're going to be like, I don't understand that move, but I trust you, right?
Can I share a quick testimony?
Yep.
Just from this past week. So, long story short, I was supposed to have worked Friday, ended up getting sick, had to call off, which I hardly ever do. When I came back on Monday, my machine, which was a high job, I absolutely love that machine and that part I was working on, they gave it to somebody else for the week. And I'm on my least favorite machine doing my least favorite part. Okay, well, it is what it is. And I've openly told them, hey, as long as I'm leaving at 4:30, I'll do whatever you ask me to do. Well, they put me with a trainee who most people just think does not care. He keeps showing up late. He's pretty much on his last leg. And throughout the time we've been training, like, he's been opening up to me a whole lot. And I would have never been with him to be able to talk to him all these hours had all that not happened. And so what I could have been angry about, you know, instead of being on my pie job that's super easy, I'm on this one that's a lot more annoying, has a lot more issues with it.
Yep.
But I'm able to talk to this guy, and he's talked to me about his alcoholism that he's struggling with. He's talked to me about his issues with his relationships, talking about how he wants to get back in church. Invited him this Sunday. He got really, really excited, wrote down the address and everything. So good Lord willing, should be here on Sunday. But it's just like you said, the orchestration of how the smallest little things that you think, you know, we could take and be mad about, if we'll accept what the Lord has for us, he opens up doors.
Yep.
Yeah.
And when we walk in too mad to figure out who's there to help out.
Yep. If we don't let our emotions rule us, we will recognize that sometimes God removes us from our comfort zone to fulfill our purpose. But your purpose is not to run a machine.
No. Although I do like the other one better.
He does like the other one better. But
based on your feelings now.
Yes. Your purpose is going to be fulfilled as a disciple maker.
Amen.
That's our purpose.
Yeah.
It trumps everything. Amen. That's what God's called us to do, right? So I mean, that's what we got to do. So, all right. So end this, end everything with a written statement of your life's purpose. So some homework for the week when you can do that. If you need a copy of this, I can screenshot it and send you a copy. If you didn't write everything down, we can do that. So, all right. It is 8:32. So let's go ahead and let's close in prayer, knowing that we're made for more.
Amen.
God has a purpose for every one of our lives. and we need to fulfill it for him. Right. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you, Lord. God, we ask you right now, God, that you would help us, Lord, to develop great character. God, help us to make a commitment unto you, Lord. Help us to demonstrate consistency in our life, Lord. Help us to live, God, with a conviction, God, that we may walk in the Spirit, God. God, that we may operate in spiritual authority, Lord. God, I pray, God, let us be a part, God, of your kingdom. God, let us do kingdom work. Let us seek you first, God, in everything we do, Lord. I pray, God, that we not operate in our emotions, God, but we operate in the Spirit, the guidance of the Spirit, Lord. God, and I pray tonight, Lord God, if you would, to help us, God, be everything you call us to be, Lord. God, I understand, God, that we are made for more than what we're currently doing, God, because there is something greater that you have for every man in this room. God, I pray, God, as husbands, Lord, as fathers, God, as leaders in this church, God, I pray that you would, God, help us to be consistent, Lord, in everything we do, to be a great example unto those around us. And we thank you for the privilege and opportunity to serve you in this hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 All right. Sunday, let's be here. It's going to be a great time.
Cannot wait to see what God's going to do on Sunday.